morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. Father Mike Griffin, who is pastor at St. Mary's in Aberdeen, joins us to give a pastor's perspective on Lent. I hope you will stick around. Very interesting conversation with him this morning. Gene Young is going to have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Melinda North with the first and second reading. Deacon Roger Height with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that that bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. He answered him, Here I am. God said, Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers. So I know well what they are suffering. Therefore, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and lead them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses said to God, But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, if they ask me, What is his name? What am I to tell them? God replied, I am who am. Then he added, This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God spoke further to Moses. Thus shall you say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus am I to be remembered through all generations. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happened as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did, and suffered death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, some were present who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. He said in reply, Do you think that these Galileans were the greatest sinners in Galilee just because they suffered this? By no means. But I tell you, you will all come to the same end unless you reform. Or take those 18 who were killed by a falling tower in Siloam. Do you think they were more guilty than anyone else who lived in Jerusalem? Certainly not. But I tell you, you will all come to the same end unless you begin to reform. Jesus spoke this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he came out looking for fruit on it, but did not find any. he said to the vine dresser, "Look here. For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why should it clutter up the ground?" In answer, the man said, "Sir, leave it another year while I hoe around it and manure it. Then perhaps it will bear fruit. If not, it shall be cut down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, religious education students from St. Rose of Lima Parish in Garrettson recently got out early into the what was then the cold weather to help construct beds for those who are less fortunate. The students prepared materials for the beds that were being constructed during their work time. You can read and see more about the St. Rose of Lima religious education students in the March edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, how well would you do if you had to answer questions about the Catholic faith while standing in front of a room full of people? Students faced that challenge recently at the First Diocese of Charleston Catholic B in early March at St. Anne's School in Rock Hill, South Carolina, which drew 30 Catholic school students in 3rd through 8th grades from 4 local Catholic schools. For the past several years, St. Anne has hosted a Catholic B as part of its celebration of Catholic Schools Week. This kind of event is a great way for the students to grow their Catholic identity, and it's a way to check in and see how well they are being evangelized and catechized, said the event's organizer, Natalie Petro, a second grade teacher and campus minister at St. Anne. Last year, she heard from principals of other schools who were interested in taking part in a statewide competition, and the idea for expanding the B was hatched. Participants were quizzed on a wide variety of faith-related topics from common prayers and devotions to parts of the Mass, holy days and feast days, the sacraments, saints, church history and doctrine, and basic Bible facts. Catholic culture was alive in working-class Hammond, Indiana, specifically in the city's downtown, through an initiative to tell the history and share the beauty of the Romanesque Revival-style St. Joseph Church in Hammond, Indiana. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Mike Griffin, who is pastor at St. Mary's in Aberdeen. He's also the executive editor of the Bishop's Bulletin, and so it was a convenient confluence of things that came together for a chance to talk to you this morning. Father Mike, great to have you on the View, on the Catholic Views program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's great to be here.
So what I like to do every Lent is get a pastor's perspective, and lucky for me, you are the pastor this year that we're going to talk to about how Lent goes in a parish, and I always think it probably starts with how Lent goes for the pastor. Maybe talk a little bit about how you approach Lent, because I suspect that plays out a bit in how your parish also lives Lent.
Well, one of the things that you need to think about is how you would like your parish to do Lent, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that's going to be unique or different that's going to be added to what a parish normally does during the Lenten season? So probably the thing that most people would acknowledge if they thought about it but may not be aware of is the fact that most pastors will begin thinking about Lent while the Nativity set's still up. So while everybody else is celebrating Christmas, we're already kind of beginning the process of thinking about Ash Wednesday coming up and what we would like to do to make it a particularly fruitful experience. Now, in saying that, you also recognize, the pastor recognizes that there are certain things that you can't mess with, that every parish kind of has its own Lenten traditions, and you have to kind of follow those, so stations and a lot of the traditional devotions and things. So those are going to be pretty standard, and the primary questions that you get are, you know, what time are stations on Friday, but then over and above the traditional devotional acts, what can you do to make this season fruitful and spiritual? So at St. Mary's, the last couple of Lents, I've been doing Wednesday afternoon over the lunch hour. I've been doing a brown bag reflection series for the Wednesdays during Lent. And last year, we just went through over 6 weeks of the Passion according to Mark, because last year was the year when we listened to Mark's gospel. And so then this year we're doing the same thing, but with the Passion According to Luke. And just giving the people just grab lunch, they come in. We start at about 12:10 and then finish up in about 50 minutes. But we're going to hear the gospel on Palm Passion Sunday. And, you know, it goes by so fast.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of reading their parts and waiting for the little bolded part to come up when their line is. And sometimes we really don't have an opportunity to just listen to everything that is in that particular Passion account. So kind of giving yourself the opportunity to do that is kind of our focus for those lunchtimes.
So you break it up and do like a segment of the Passion each of the weeks?
Yeah, for 6 weeks.
For six
weeks.
I break
it into six little chunks.
Yeah, much more digestible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Much more understandable.
Absolutely.
And as you said, a chance to maybe linger on things that otherwise we might just miss.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, because each one of the Passion accounts is going to have its own flavor. It's going to have its own focus. It's going to have kind of its own idea of what it wants to present.
Mm-hmm.
And so we listen to it and we just kind of presume that it's, which is an easy thing to do, just kind of presume that it's kind of the same Passion as that we heard the year before. But Mark and Luke are vastly different in their presentations of the disciples, who Jesus is, what his trial was like, what his time in the garden was like, the actual crucifixion itself, the words that were spoken. All of those changes were done for a particular reason and divinely inspired, so that we could have this fuller sense of what it means for us to be a people who commemorate and celebrate and live the Passion of Christ.
So as I'm hearing you talk about this, it seems to me that's almost a metaphor for Lent itself, that the whole point is to have some time to break things down, to think about them a little more deeply, to think about them in relationship to our own life. And that's kind of what you're doing with this Wednesday session.
Yeah, that becomes an absolute essential for any person's spiritual growth, or particularly for a parish, is to come to understand what those images mean, and what is being said. So you could pass on information, but it becomes more important to say what is the emotional experience that is being presented as well. So it becomes intellectual and emotional. And spiritual when we take that time and encounter the mystery of the Passion. It's really a lot like this particular episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, but I'll talk to you about that at some future date.
That's an off topic we're not going to get to this morning. So sorry we won't have time to cover that.
Maybe next time.
On this edition of Catholic Views. But I appreciate you bringing it up because the listeners now are very curious, and then you may be getting contacted by them to find out what it is you're thinking about. No, I think the question I have for you is about all of that is, does that then enhance maybe some of the other things? So you talked about kind of the regular things like stations, but if I'm doing this reflection on the Passion, in a weekly session like you're doing there, don't I come to the stations and think about things, maybe experience things in a different way there as well? In a sense, it kind of enhances everything.
Well, that's the goal. That's the goal of Lent in general.
Yeah.
The church's understanding always is that we don't do devotions for the sake of doing devotions, but we do devotions as a way to unite ourselves more closely to the mystery of Christ, so that our suffering and the sufferings of the world and the sufferings of the people that we love are become an intimate part of what it means for us to pray the stations. So we begin to ask ourselves, how compassionate am I? Would I be one of the ones to reach out and to offer some expression of comfort? So to kind of internalize and personalize those devotions becomes a really important part of what it means for us to be on this Lenten journey together. And then also, from a pastoral standpoint, connecting your daily life to what you're doing in the church obviously is going to be a huge part of the Lenten season. So a lot of that catechetical aspect of just teaching why we do what we do falls on the pastor's shoulders in preaching and bulletins and any way that he can get the word out. So why do we fast? Why do we give alms? What does that have to do with our spirituality? Does it really matter? You know, if we don't eat a hamburger on Friday during Lent, I mean, what point does that make for us spiritually? And so coming to a deeper understanding of that discipline, and so that what we're doing in church and what people are doing in their daily lives come together and really just strengthen a person as they're making this journey.
That's exactly where I wanted you to go, because I think a lot of us do things from habit. We do things in a sense in a rote way because, well, it's what I did growing up, did it as a kid, and so, you know, I do it now as an adult. I'm not so sure the current young generation feels the same way. So that sense of understanding, that sense of what's the connection becomes even more essential.
Well, I like to say that when I'm talking to couples who may have two different Christian traditions who are preparing for marriage, that I'll talk to the Protestant spouse to be, and we'll say that I'm sure you've been asking your fiance an awful lot of questions about Catholicism, and they'll say yes, and then I'll look at the Catholic member of the couple and say, and you feel really stupid, don't you? They always nod their head yes, and yeah. I say, all right, it's all a matter of what it means to come from a ritualized church, that what's passed on. You know, in religious education, because we're a very ritualized church and we find meaning in that, we spend an awful lot of time talking about the hows and very little time talking about the why. Because it's really, really important for us so that little kids know how to genuflect and how to make the sign of the cross and how to say the prayers. We don't spend an awful lot of time explaining why they should do those things. But to your point, the coming generations for the last couple of years, the why has become increasingly more important for them spiritually. For their grandparents, it was the doing it that mattered,
yep.
And it still does. But they're looking for a little bit of both, and it's not just, you know, Father said, you know, don't eat meat on Friday, and so we don't eat meat on Friday, you know, so that you'll meet a lot of younger people, and they won't eat meat on Fridays during Lent, but they still want to know why that is.
Yeah.
And that's great. I mean, that's really challenging for us as pastors because you were talking about how you can just kind of get into the habit. Well, heaven knows we can do the exact same thing.
Right.
And just, you know, presume that we're still back, you know, in the 1940s and say, well, because I said so. We're like, that's not going to work anymore.
It does not work. Yeah.
So we actually have to do our homework and know our stuff. And that really helps and supports us spiritually too.
But I would guess as a pastor, you welcome that curiosity. It's where there isn't a curiosity and it just a letting go that where the real problem lies.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I appreciate the curiosity. I appreciate the people who just do it without the curiosity.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they have no curiosity and no practice of it, you know, then yes, obviously there's something I think that's just so spiritually enlivening about people saying, you know, I want to know the history of this. I want to know the significance. You know, I haven't eaten meat on Fridays in Lent my entire life. Why? What am I getting out of this?
Right. What does that do?
Yeah. Yeah. And when they come to understand, you know, and how ancient that tradition is, and particularly when they come to understand how difficult Lent used to be,
yeah.
Then they have a greater appreciation for this kind of, you know, in the light of what happened in the Middle Ages and whatnot, this exceptionally simple little thing that we do, they can start to see, you know, that this can really change who I am spiritually and just sanctify the whole day.
So and I don't know that this is an either or. Maybe it's a both and. Do you see this season as really, in a sense, a strengthening of those who have some level of faith, or do you see it as an opportunity for evangelization, or is it both? I think about who comes to Ash Wednesday, right? Everybody. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? You know, so that's why I asked the question. Is it both, do you think?
It is both. You know, it's an interesting thing, because every year on the Monday and Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, most pastors are thinking about the vast crowd that's showing up.
Yeah.
and why, and why they're showing up. You know, and we always kind of chuckle about the fact that, you know, technically, I mean, it's not a holy day of obligation. It's just, you know, a day in which you get ashes, and the crowds will be, you know, massive. When I was at the Newman Center at South Dakota State University, it was by far the largest mass of the entire year.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have classes during Christmas and Easter. And, but there's a part of me, the older I get, that says, that in the midst of all of the craziness of our lives and how much life has advanced and the impact that technology's had on our lives, et cetera, there's something about that that still touches people. They may not have entered a church for a year. They may not have. They may not. Or in the case of this woman I met many years ago, she had joined the Lutheran Church 40 years previously, but she went to Mass every Ash Wednesday because that little ritual, so simple, still says something to people. And calls them back to something. Now, yeah, Lent is awesome for evangelization. Lent is awesome for spiritual growth. Lent is also the elephant in the room. And it's really that as a pastor, one of the things, it's not that this bothers me, but it's one of those things that we're constantly working on is, you know, Lent is like this big thing. You know, people talk about Lent. What are you giving up for Lent?
Right.
And how Lent's going to be different. And they spend these 40 days. And we're supposed to be a spiritual growth. It's a spiritual growth for a purpose, which is to celebrate Easter and to the renewal of our baptism and entering into Christ dying and rising at the Triduum, which we then celebrate for 50 days. So the church has already said what it considers to be the most important season.
Right.
And it's not Lent.
And it's important to note that.
But we pack everything into Lent.
We do.
And, you know, in Easter, you know, and then we come in and we're like, oh, we're still singing Hallelujah. You know, and it's like, of course we're still singing Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is—
We're going to have to edit that out of this edition of the show, however, because we're—
Yeah, I didn't sing it.
I'm kidding. keep going. Sorry.
So, but, you know, I can't remember what I was saying. But we were, you know, but it's, you know, trying to make sure that people understand that this is a journey to something, and that Lent doesn't just exist on its own. It's not like the Day of Atonement. It's not like Ramadan. It's a penitential season like those, to be sure, but it's also different because it's oriented towards something entirely different, which is, of course, then the Triduum, and then the 50 days of the Easter season. So we do a lot of things, but people always be, you know, members of the parish will be like, well, you know, we wanted to do this thing and it would be great if we could do it during Lent. And I'm always saying, gosh, it would be really nice if we did it during the Easter season, because the Easter season needs to have some of those things.
Yeah.
To make it a season where we really live that transformation we've been working on throughout Lent.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how we approach these things individually. You know, we're all unique creatures. And I would guess for some people that the idea of fasting, you know, doesn't mean much to them, or it doesn't take them spiritually anyplace. Or maybe for others, it's the additional prayer. They don't know what to do. Or maybe it's the other stuff. They just don't. But everybody kind of comes at this from their own place, don't they? So how do you deal with that as a pastor? How do you try to be all things to all people? That's an age-old question for a pastor, by the way. It's not just Lent.
And just how it connects to Lent.
Yeah.
And to Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Let's tie all of this together. Oh, boy. That's always a tough one. Basically, the idea that you try to keep in your head is that a parish obviously is not a monolithic entity. It's made up of individuals, and those individuals come from vastly different perspectives and understandings. You know, so basically what you try to do is you try to be as broad as possible in giving people different opportunities, and knowing that what works for some people isn't going to work for others. And, you know, and to let people know that a brown bag lunch may not be your thing,
right?
You know, sitting down and spending 50 minutes reflecting on the Passion of Luke. But, you know, a you know, Lenten soup supper just might be your, you know, your ticket. You know, you may not particularly like stations, but you may really appreciate the opportunity just to go to weekday mass. You know, or, you know, you may not be particularly, you know, have a really strong devotion to the rosary, but you could try, you know, fasting and abstaining. So people will kind of, you know, the church gives you this broad guidelines. These are things that we're all going to do together. That's important. But then within that framework, then people can kind of find the thing that's going to speak to them. With the understanding that what becomes really, really helpful is that they also allow themselves to be challenged. They challenge themselves because Lenten time is supposed to be a discipline. It's not supposed to be easy. So it's supposed to take a little bit of effort and a little bit of work and a little bit of thoughtfulness and just to remember from day to day that we are experiencing this journey together. And so if they've got that mentality, then they can just kind of pick whatever devotion or opportunity that they may have that's going to speak most to them, and then they have a great Lent.
And maybe even to pray about that a little bit, huh?
Well, certainly.
Maybe what does the Lord want me to do this Lent? Might be different than last Lent.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. It's always helpful for a person to talk to someone else about what their Lenten thoughts are. You know, the rule of St. Benedict is very specific on that. Each of the monks had to put together a plan of penance, and then they had to present it to the abbot to accept or reject or modify as he saw fit. And that, you know, because it's sometimes we can kind of delude ourselves.
Yep.
Or we may push ourselves harder than we should. Or we're going to move in one direction, but everybody in your family knows you should move in another direction. And so sometimes it's really nice for them to say, you know, this is really something maybe you should work on during the Lenten season, and to allow that belief that the Holy Spirit may be speaking through these people that you love.
Beautiful stuff. Father Mike Griffin is pastor at St. Mary's in Aberdeen, executive editor of the Bishop's Bulletin. Thank you.
You are so very welcome, Jerry. Always a pleasure.
Gene, I love hearing from Father Mike talk about how this plays out in his parish and his own life as well. It's an interesting conversation, and one probably we all ought to take some time to reflect
exactly.
on.
Exactly. There is still time in Lent, so you can refocus if you haven't done anything up till now.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten the confession thing figured out, get that done. All that stuff is important.
Good opportunities.
All right. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back with you next Sunday.